Good morning. May you feel the warmth of God's Holy Spirit here today. I'm Barbara Fode, and I'm a member of the congregation, and I am here to welcome you. Whatever brings you here, whether it's your custom to be here, whether you're here because of some crisis in your life, whether you're just curious, may you find peace here, peace with God, and peace with yourselves. We welcome those of you who are here for a first or second time. We wear these stoles as a part of our welcome to let you know that we are a congregation that is open to all kinds of diversity and everyone is welcome here. And if you want to grab one of these stoles, you don't have to be an anybody. You're a somebody because you're here. You'll find them up at the front here and in the back. We do have a visitor's packet if you're new to us. We'll try to get around to get you one, but they're in the back too, or see me and be glad to give you that information. With your bulletin that you got with the when you came in from an usher, there is an attendance registry. We just have one now for everybody, and it is important for us that you do sign that. So if you'll grab that now and at least put your name on it, and if you're new, we'd love to have some contact information for you so that we could tell you we're glad that you were here. The ushers will collect these, but also on here is a place where you could put a prayer request. So if you do that, the ushers will collect those then. Otherwise, just drop it in the offering plate. Lots of upcoming events that are in your bulletin. I won't take a lot of time for them, but just a couple. This afternoon, right after worship, come join us for a cool drink in the gathering room right behind here through either door. And then there's soup and sermon, a chance to talk about the sermon today. And Tuesday night, there's the Interfaith Pride worship service. There's information about that. Just so that you understand our hospitality, there are restrooms out this way, the ushers in the back. There's some cool water back there if you need a drink. And anything else you might need, the ushers in the back can help you with. Peter Swords is our litanist today. Dale Fryer is going to be our song leader. Our pastor, Alicia, is on a well-deserved vacation this week. So Rochelle Dale is here, and I told her I've been praying for her. I'm very excited to hear what Rochelle's going to share with us in the sermon time. If you don't know, Rochelle is off to seminary this fall at Vanderbilt. And if she survives that, she tells me she's off to law school after that. Lord have mercy. But please settle back. We will continue our worship now, and we're very glad you are here.
Good morning. In our worship, all during Eastertide, and this has been all this last couple of months, leading up to our Pentecost celebration last week, we've been talking about emerging. The primary symbol we've used has been the image of butterflies emerging from cocoons, but we've also watched robins hatch from their eggs, baby turtles hatch and march toward the sea, and barns getting raised. We've studied scripture passages where God appeared to biblical characters to tell them that a new thing was going to emerge in their lives. Abram and Sarai, in their old age, were to bring forth an entire nation. Moses led the Hebrew people for 40 years in the desert, teaching them of God's faithfulness before they could psychologically emerge from slavery into their new homeland. Mary was to give birth to the Prince of Peace, Jesus, who would change forever how we understand God. Jesus called Lazarus from his tomb, and his friends unwrapped the grave clothes so that he could emerge to new life. And the friends of the paralyzed man broke through the roof so they could enter into Jesus' presence. Finally, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit broke into the room where worried, despondent followers of Jesus huddled, wondering what the future held for them. The Spirit descended on each one of them, and they emerged from that room no longer wondering what the future held, but proclaiming that new future to all who would listen. Ted, thank you for that wonderful summary of this whole season of Scripture. That was awesome. These stories and images provide a vision of what it means to break loose, to follow the urgings of God in our life, to boldly step into God's future for us as a church and for each one of us. Just as the butterfly can never become a caterpillar again, we cannot, once we feel God's call on our life, we cannot erase that experience from our lives. We cannot not feed our neighbor. We cannot not clothe the naked. We cannot not speak out against injustice because we now understand how much God loves us. And our only response can be to love each of God's children and all of God's creation with the same passion. Today we celebrate one of us, one of our body, emerging from our congregation to answer God's call on her life. Rochelle Dale is moving to Nashville to study at both Vanderbilt Divinity School and School of Law. And by the way, she's not just going to survive, she's going to thrive, right? She has been commissioned by this congregation to enter the ordained ministry and has met with the District Committee on Ministry to declare her candidacy. Before she left for school, she wanted an opportunity to share her call and her faith with the congregation through worship. She has designed this service today and will be bringing the children's time and message. We welcome her to our pulpit. We send her on her way with our love and with the very appropriate words of our theme hymn for this season, "This is a Day of New Beginnings." Please stand and join us in singing this hymn, the first verse.
This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on, time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone.
So please be seated. I'm going to be your liturgist this morning, and because I sing in the choir, and there may be times when you don't see me in front of you, but you will hear me through the sound system, please do join me in the call to worship. A mighty wind has blown. The presence of the Spirit is with us. The presence of the Spirit moves and gathers us into community. Let us marvel at God's power. And now let's do join together in singing our opening hymn, "This Is My Maker's World," on page 144 in the blue hymnal or on the screen.
This is my Maker's world, and to my listening ear, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the sphere. This is my Maker's world, I rest in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and sea, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Maker's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This my Maker's world, He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass, He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Maker's world, oh let me ne'er forget. Though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God God reigns, let earth be glad.
Amen. Isn't that a wonderful hymn? It just makes me happy. Let's join in this tradition that we have at University Church of greeting one another by shaking hands and saying good morning or peace be with you or just listening to each other. I invite you now to pass the peace of Christ to your neighbors.
For by the life and death of Jesus, love's mighty Spirit now as then can make for us a world of difference if hope are born again.
Would children please join me for the blessing of the children? All right. All right, let's make a little semi-something where we can look at each other. All right, so I'm going to get down here, and y'all pray I can get back up. Okay? So, do you guys know Pastor Alicia? Am I Pastor Alicia?
No.
I'm not. You can call me Sister Rosie or Sister Rochelle. But I'm not Pastor Alicia, but I am a member of this church, and I am going to be a pastor like Alicia. And so today is my time to practice and to share God's love with you. So we're going to start this with a song. I have a video. This Sunday is a pretty special Sunday. Every day that you wake up is a special day. But today is special because today we celebrate the Holy Trinity. And that's a hard thing to think about. But we're going to listen to this song first that tells us all about that. Deal? Okay. Different people. God is, look at that. That symbol shows the different things that God is. God is Father or Mother, that hand. God is the Lamb, that's Jesus, and He's the Holy Spirit, and that's often shown by a dove. Now, how can God be all three of these and at the same time? That's pretty incredible, don't you think? But you know what else they did? They made something. God's greatest creation. You, and point out at them. Point to them. You are God's greatest creation. So, out of all the wonderful things that God made, you are the greatest thing that God did. You are the most wonderful thing that he's done. And you can think about God as being above you. You can think of Jesus as walking beside you like you have an invisible friend. You know, your imaginary friend you play with. Jesus is right there beside you so that if we make a misstep, if we make a mistake, he's there. And inside of us, helping us to make the right decisions is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. It's not a roar ghost. Roar! No, it's a comfort. So, I have something that everybody loves. It says in one of our scriptures today to give each other a holy kiss. I have prayed and asked God to bless these. Now, we have regular kisses. We have kisses with almonds. And we have kisses with caramel. Now, you get to have one, but you have to take one to give to someone else. But before you do that, while you're getting those, let's have a prayer. You get two, and then you pass it to the next person. Yeah, get you two. Remember, if you get the gold, those have almonds. Do you like almonds? The nuts? Okay. That's fine. But you're going to share? You're going to give one to someone to remind them that they're loved? No. When you get to your seats. Okay, now let us pray. Would you repeat after me? Father, I appreciate you. Son of God, I adore you. Holy Ghost, you live in me. Help me to share your love with everyone I meet. Amen. You may go back to your families. Thank you.
Now, just as Sister Rochelle has shared the historic meaning of our faith with the children, would you please rise if you're able and join me in the Apostles' Creed, one of the historic affirmations of faith of the Christian Church. I believe in God, the Almighty, Creator of
heaven and earth. I
believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God.
Thank you. prayer read as a part of worship, please pass your completed prayer slip to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. As we pass in our prayers, let us remain seated and sing the final verses of "This is a Day of New Beginnings."
This is the day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new.
Let's join together in a time of prayer as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer and the Lord's Prayer. O Lord, our Lord and Creator, thank you for this moment, this quiet minute together, for the beauty of this day, and for the earth under our feet, and for your love, which from our birth has been all over us all the time. We want to pray for healing and new beginnings for everybody, especially those who have requested prayers from us. Thank you for being with us all the time and for this church that is a place where we can always find more support and prayer. We know too well the frenzied, frantic way our lives get co-opted into systems of violence, racism, dehumanization, and war. And we pray for people in Afghanistan, Korea, Syria, Iran, and many, many other places, Korea, where all these concerns are out there, but also right here in Syracuse. We pray for refugees, immigrants, people in poverty, and all who are targeted by these oppressive systems. We pray for our general church, which has just gone through a conference, and for decisions in the past made in haste, and decisions that sometimes are made in hate in the past being reconsidered. Give us new eyes and ears to look at the heavens and to hear the still small voice of truth. Help us bring your love with us everywhere, and to speak up, even when our knees are shaking, to stand as allies for children, for Muslims, for Jews, for people who are torn up from the floor up, for people of your whole human family, with nobody left out. We ask your blessings on Sister Rochelle, who is already graced by your presence and your love, as she continues her studies at the right place, the right time with you. Keep us in touch, that we may all be of one mind and always listening for your truth in every experience, in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray your prayer. Mother and Father God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our day, our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today we have two scriptures. The first is Psalm 8. Familiar, beautiful words of praise and adoration for Almighty God, read from the English Standard Translation of the Bible. And the second will be 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 to 13, read from the New King James translation of the Bible. And in that one, St. Paul will end his letter to the Corinthians with words of love and care. First, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand if you're able and join me in singing How Great Thou Art, number 77 in the blue hymnal and displayed on the screen.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Now, I am Sister Rochelle. I have a stopwatch, and I am going to get this thing going so I can keep up with time. Because, first of all, your being here today is like, in this heat and this little bit of humidity that we have, and I say that because Tennessee has much more, but your being here is like a cool cup of water. And so I am going to be brief. I'm going to say what God has put on my heart, but God has put it on my heart in such a manner that we can get this done fairly quickly. So that's what we're going to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, again, it's Trinity Sunday. I like the hand of God because it doesn't give God a gender, you know? Sometimes people have trouble with a male God if they have had a fractured relationship with their father or had an absentee father for whatever reason, be it death, divorce, be it imprisoned, whatever it is. It's not, you know, the child doesn't make that choice, but the child may not have a relationship with father. So thinking of God as father for some is too painful, too difficult. So for others, God may be a mother. But God reaches his hand down, or her hand down, or their hand down, through the Holy Spirit, and speaks to each of us, stirs within us a God-shaped hole in our soul that only God can fill. And to let us know how that looks, God became flesh and dwelt among us, walked among us. So we can think of God as the love above us. It's like when you go out and it's very hot and you get that shade over you that cools you for a minute. And Jesus is our invisible friend who walks beside us. And the Holy Spirit is that guiding force within us. So, as this graphic shows, the Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is neither the Son nor the Father, but they are all God. So it's three and one. Now this three and one got together and they decided that they would make themselves the world, that they would do all of the things that we see around us. Have you ever looked at your lawn? I don't mean to see if you have to mow it, or if the grass is dying because of no rain, or just to make sure that your lawn is not the worst looking one on the street, because as long as it's not the worst looking one, you're okay. It doesn't have to be the best. I mean, just to look at it, how it just grows, how it gets hot, and it sort of looks like it dies, but it gets a little bit of rain and it livens up again. Or at the trees that change with the seasons, reminding us that we too change, but that God is faithful. It's just amazing if we look at creation. As the scripture says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Two things. God thinks about you, Colin. God thinks about you, Ann. God thinks about you. And he visits with you. Do you have friends that you like to visit? Do you? God wants to visit with each of us. Now, I'm going to share with you.
God stepped out on.
In just 1 second. The Creation by James Weldon Johnson. It's about 4 minutes, which means that's 4 minutes I won't talk. But it also gives us the sense of what was empty and what became beauty. Now, I know many are scientists, many are very analytical, many are literal. This is not a debate, and this is not a science lesson or a science textbook, but this is literature to let us know something about the nature of God and what He does and is capable of doing, and what we are capable of doing through God. So it teaches us something about who God is, who we are, and who the person sitting to our right or left, behind us or in front of us is. The creation.
And God stepped out on space. And He looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down on a cypress swamp. Then God smiled and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, that's good. Then God reached out and took the light in His hands, and God rolled the light around in His hands, until He made the sun, and He set that sun a-blazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light He hurled the world. And God said, that's good. Then God Himself stepped down. And the sun was on His right hand, the moon was on His left, the stars were clustered about His head, and the earth was under His feet. And God walked, and where He trod, His footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then He stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world, and He spat out the seven seas. He batted His eyes and the lightnings flashed. He clapped His hands and the thunders rolled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky and the oak spread out his arms. And the lakes curled down in the hollows of the ground and the rivers ran down to the sea. Then God smiled again, and the rainbow appeared and curled itself around His shoulder. Then God raised His arm and He waved His hand over the sea and over the land, and He said, bring forth, and quicker than God could drop His hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, that's good. Then God walked around and God looked around on all that He had made. He looked at His sun and He looked at His moon and He looked at His little star. He looked on His world with all its living things. And God said, I'm lonely still. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where He could think. By a deep, wide river He sat down. With His head in His hands, God thought and thought, till He thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river He kneeled Him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of His hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till He shaped it in His own image. Then into it He breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Man became a living soul. Isn't that cool? Now, so if God made things so wonderful, why did we have a hearing on Benghazi and all of those kinds of things where the Secretary of State had to testify about all of that? Or why did we have a Supreme Court justice nominee who was accused of sexual harassment of a worker? So even though God made us his greatest creation, beautiful, there are bad things that happen. There are bad things that we do. There's strife and there's turmoil and there's violence. So it's easy for us to forgive the victim. But what about the ones who are not the victims? What about the perpetrator? How do we feel about them? They're both beloved. They're all beloved. Watch me carefully. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, independent, libertarian, you're beloved. That's what God intends. And that's what I learned first at Mount Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church. Now, you see there's a little girl standing up there in the front? See that little girl? That ain't me. See that little boy up there? That ain't me. See that little girl hanging on to her mother for dear life like she's a little monkey? That's me. And so, even then, before I professed a hope in Christ, God had this in mind. He knew that one day I would be here. He knew that I would fight this call for 45 years. He knew that after over 25 years, after I first spoke at that church, it would take more than 25 years for me to come to this place. In 2012, when I said, God has a calling on my life and I shall never speak of it again, he knew it then. But I was still beloved in the midst of all those things. Now, these are my siblings and my mother. And my sister's watching live streaming. She always says I'm her favorite sister, but that I'm also her only sister. Now, my brothers, one of them is a vice president at Dollar General. Wonderful deacon in the church, does all these things that you'd just take him home. My other brother is a very personable person. He could charm everyone. He has been in prison for over 3 years. And when I saw him on his 36th birthday in prison, which is the last time I saw him, I said, oh, if I could get to you, I would do something that I'm not going to say. And so it was very easy for me to think hard of him, to be judgmental. But he is just as loved as my brother, the deacon. And you may be saying, oh yeah, that's fine, but I smoke too much, or I have a bad temper, or I've had an inappropriate relationship, an affair with someone who is married, or I'm a victim of incest, or I have an addiction, and it's so scary and so powerful. It's like an itch on my back that I can never scratch. And I'm afraid that I might lose my family, my friends, my health, and even myself to this. Wherever you are loved today. You are dearly loved right where you are. And the most miraculous thing is, God's love for you is infinite, and it doesn't change his love for me. If you have more than one child, you know that you love all your children. You don't just love one. Sometimes you say, why'd I have any? But you love them all. You love them all. And that's the way it is. So we have to forgive ourselves and be ready to accept God's love. And this is the latest addition to my world. She came up here when I was 45. She became my child. And yes, she is dressed like me today. She's not wearing this, not because she disagrees, but so that we won't be twins. Otherwise, you wouldn't know who was who. And look how she's grown. She's grown because of all the love, all the prayers that she's had, and all the food at James Street and here, and just God's blessings. Now, again, what is man that God is mindful of man, the Son of Man, that God visits us? I recently reread the book, The Shack. And I got to tell you, for us fundamentalists, we have to let go of our usual ways of thinking about who God is and accept God as God is big enough that God can be who God wants to be at any given time. And in this story, there is a man who's had an unspeakable tragedy in his life. And he cannot relate to God as a man because his own father was abusive. But his wife calls God Papa. And he gets a letter to meet God at the shack. God's letter says, "I haven't seen you in a while. I'll be at the shack, Papa." So he goes and he spends time there. Now again, as I said, you have to get rid of God as an old man with a white beard. Okay? We have to get rid of those notions, accept him as a black woman. And then we have Jesus, who's Middle Eastern, and the Holy Spirit, which is a woman, and she sort of like flows around. Now the importance isn't the ethnicities or the genders that are in that film. The importance is, number one, God is relatable. God comes to each of us in a way that we can understand. If you need a mother, God is a mother. If you need a father, God is a father. If you need a friend, God is a friend. God is that kind of God. Now, there's one verse from this that the Jesus person says. It's really important, and I want us to just sort of take this with us in my closing. Almost there. Those who love me, now this is not me speaking. This is Jesus in the shack. Those who love me come from every system that exists. They were Buddhists or Mormons, Baptists or Muslims, Democrats, Republicans, and many who don't vote or are not part of any Sunday morning religious institutions. I have followers who were murderers and many who were self-righteous. I was the second. Some were bankers and bookies, Americans and Iraqis, Jews and Palestinians. Now Christ, this is interesting. I have no desire to make them Christian. But I do want to join them in their transformation into sons and daughters of my Papa, into my brothers and sisters, into my beloved. And that's what God wants for us to be, brothers and sisters, all a part of the beloved. You are dearly loved. And as I get ready to go to Tennessee, this is the first time that I'm leaving a place that I am sad to leave, because this is family and friends, and yet it is time for me to go there. So as the last scripture that was read says, greet one another with a holy kiss to live in peace, and I am not going to hug and kiss you because it's too hot. But we do have, you're going to put those over there. There's some on the other side. We do have the Hershey Kisses. We have the caramel, the plain, and the almond. Take two or three and share them. You may take four and share those with someone else. And the last thing that I will say about this, I told you about the kisses. So who do you share Hershey's kisses with? With everyone you can. Because we never know who needs to know how loved they are. So now, my prayer is that may the love of God who is above us, the grace of Christ who is beside us, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit within us rest, rule, and abide with each of us. And as was said in Genesis, when I do leave on June the 30th, I will say this again. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. As we enter a time of giving, I'd like to remind everybody to please place your attendance slips into the plate as our ushers come down the aisle. I'd also like our first-time visitors of the church to know we do not expect a donation from you today, your first time. You are our guest. We're grateful you're here. Yet we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings. Now please remain standing and join me in singing, please join me in the unison prayer of dedication displayed on the screen. The Creator of all life has endowed our earth with bountiful blessings. God created humanity to share in the wonder and joy of these blessings. May our giving from the fullness of our lives be acceptable in God's sight. May the gifts we bring prove that God's rule is at hand, both now and to come. All thanks to God, giver and receiver of all that is good. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Now, please remain standing and join me in singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You, number 89 in the blue hymnal and displayed on the screen.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord above. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Mortals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, binding all within his span. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Amen. Please join us for coffee and fellowship in the gathering room after this, through the door on either side, and take this opportunity to wish Sister Rochelle and family well as she continues to emerge into a new calling in her life. And now please join me in the benediction. Form us, hold us, open us, unfold us, unfurl us, untether us, uncurl us, uncrease us, unwrap us. Go now in peace to love and serve our God. Amen.